The Attorney General says the time is approaching to prosecute Wall Street or not. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Attorney General Eric Holder doesn't have much time left on the job, but before Holder leaves the big stage, he wants to take one last run at holding executives accountable for their roles in the mortgage meltdown that helped precipitate the Great Recession. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joins us now to talk about what Holder told a National Press Club audience. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, David.
There's been persistent criticism of the Attorney General over the failure to prosecute individual executives for the financial crisis.
Well, yeah. And, you know, earlier in the crisis, there was probably more worry in the Obama administration about the whole financial system collapsing, you know, rather than busting a few bankers and corporations. But now Eric Holder is telling his department lawyers to look at the cases that they've been working. These are for mortgage securities fraud and money laundering, to figure out in the next 90 days if there may be viable prosecutions that they could bring against individuals. Here's Karen Petru. She's at Federal Financial Analytics.
If you prosecute a few high-profile individuals and you make it clear that it's not good enough for them just to give speeches about corporate ethics, that could well bring it home.
Imogen, we should point out Eric Holder's Justice Department has brought a lot of cases, if not against individuals in the past couple of years, well, then against the big banks.
Yeah, civil settlements that totaled over $35 billion against JPMorgan Chase and Citigroup and Bank of America. Now, Holder insists that it is not lack of prosecutorial zeal that cases against individuals haven't happened much. You know, we'll find out soon if some top executives can be held accountable.
All right. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thank you very much. The guardians of interest rates at the Federal Reserve will release the minutes of their last meeting later today. Jeffrey Cleveland is chief economist at Payden & Riegel Investment Management in Los Angeles. Mr. Cleveland, good morning.
Good morning, David, and happy Fed Minutes release day.
Yeah, it's red on my calendar. What will you be looking for when these Fed Minutes come out, do you think?
One is the word patience. Policymakers have pledged to be patient with regard to hiking the overnight interest rate. If they were to talk about dropping that language, it could signal a rate hike could arrive within the next two meetings. And then the second big thing for me, David, would be they had a phrase in the FOMC statement which said, you know, we are monitoring international developments. And there's a lot of argument in the bond market whether that was because they were worried about international developments or whether they were just sort of saying, hey, we're looking at it, but we think the effects will be limited and we can move on.
You know, I think everybody gets that the labor market seems to be firming up, but it's hard to make a case for inflation. I mean, look today, wholesale prices, we learned, fell 0.8% last month. I mean, there's not really any inflation to speak of.
You have to put yourselves in the shoes of policymakers. And the way they tend to look at the world, David, is, yes, the labor market is good today, but inflation, you know, is something that will come with a lag. So you would want to raise interest rates now in anticipation of higher inflation down the road.
Economist Jeffrey Cleveland is at Payden & Riegel Investment Management in L.A. Jeffrey, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Dock workers at West Coast ports haven't had a contract since the end of June, and somehow they haven't been working quite as fast. This has caused bottlenecks for months that are starting to really hit factories and retailers across the country. One winner here already, the air freight industry, Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
It costs roughly 10 times more to ship something by air than by sea. Tom Derry is CEO of the Institute for Supply Management.
So it's really not a sustainable solution for the long run, but in the short term, it becomes necessary.
Especially for luxury retailers that can absorb the extra cost. Mark Zacconi is associate managing editor of the Journal of Commerce. He says Japanese car makers have been shipping parts to the U.S. by air to avoid a dent in sales.
If they don't, then that means idling production lines, and that's even more expensive than what they would pay to put it in, say, the belly of a passenger plane or to actually order a freighter.
The upside? Goods sent by air can arrive in 48 hours versus 28 days at sea, plus what could be weeks getting them off the ship and onto a truck or train. Zacconi says big Asian airlines like Cathay Pacific especially stand to gain, along with cargo carriers like FedEx, UPS, and DHL. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And there's news today that prosecutors in Switzerland raided the Geneva offices of HSBC, the second largest bank in the world. The investigation is into aggravated money laundering. The stock market can be a perverse place, as you know, and HSBC's stock is up 0.4% in London now. Fair trade coffee is meant to give smaller growers a larger share of high retail prices. You may have seen other fair trade crafts in hipster boutiques, but some of that merchandise is now coming to a department store near you. Reporter Laurie Stern filed this report from Guatemala.
Mi nombre es Yolanda.
Yolanda Morales weaves while she talks. One end of her loom winds around her waist. The other is tied to a cement pillar in the dusty courtyard of her mother's house. Morales leads a community of 20 weavers who live high in the mountains east of Chichicastenango. Families here grow corn and raise animals. Indigenous Maya, 40% of Guatemala's population, have lived this way for centuries. Morales says when her grandmother taught her to weave, it was with only four colors. Now she uses 12 colors and new designs. She knows her blouses and shawls are fashionable because they're selling.
So the colors we matched as closely as we could.
Mm-hmm. They look pretty close.
A couple of hours away, in a bigger city called Panajachel, Morales' work is being inspected by a potential customer at the offices of a nonprofit called Maya Traditions. Allison Wanschneider is its director of sales and marketing.
We're providing a product that people want to buy with a story that they support.
But before she signs on, Wanschneider's customer has questions. How does Maya Traditions control quality? Where does it bank? And who keeps the books? How much product can it offer?
We're really working on both sides.
The customer is Danny Huffaker. She's the Guatemala rep with Peace & Co., a for-profit company that finds handmade products for major brands like Nordstrom and J. Crew.
What we're doing is managing expectations that brands have that artisan groups may not be accustomed to working with.
For instance, the industry talks about fabric in yards. But what comes off a backstrap loom isn't a yard. It's the width of the weaver's waist. That's called a lienzo.
We can definitely do this in lienzos. And I think
the women say shoppers want fair trade products in mainstream stores. Consumer demand is driving both retailers and artisans to change the way they do business. I'm Laurie Stern for Marketplace.
Now, in the annals of bad days at the office, do you recall this doozy from 3 years ago? BATS, an electronic stock market that wants to someday rival the New York Stock Exchange, has its big initial public offering of its own stock. But on the day, somehow, the system goes haywire, and BATS' own shares collapse to mere pennies in the first minutes of trading. BATS pulls the plug, and tens of millions of dollars evaporate. I mention this because the Wall Street Journal today is reporting that BATS may soon replace its CEO ahead of trying again with a new IPO, but the company is denying any new IPO is in the works. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.